at least from the applicant's standpoint, he will be there until he dies, but obviously the children also will be involved in the agricultural setting. I just wanted to point that out. I don't know if you may have any other questions that you may wish to add.
I don't have a problem with number four. So you're covered. What was your exceptional and extraordinary circumstance?
On which one?
Number one.
For number one, what I think makes that property kind of unique is that this is probably the only property where research and experimentation with plants is going on. And in fact, this would preserve the continuance of that process by allowing the children to join because they help the continue the process. And that's what I think makes it unique. Because there are other places, they're all farming, and there are trees and normal agricultural processes. But in this particular case, it's unique. The research, I don't know if, well, the university places, they probably have that kind of research. So it's that makes it very unique. I don't know nearby, I don't know that there's any other location where that's taken place. So I just wanted to point that out. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Anyone else to speak in support? You come forward, state your name and address for the record, if you would.
My name is Dion Bourdais. I'm running for Fresno County Supervisor, District 2. I would like to speak in support of this request. First, I'd like to address the subjective questions that are being asked. I think we came to a finding of number two of being understanding. I think the exceptional extraordinary circumstances of our conditions are pretty evident. If you look at Exhibit 5, can you put that up for me, please? If you look at Exhibit 5, you'll find that this is just off of the city boundary. Literally the next place that is going to be incorporated within the sphere of influence of Fresno. They are preempting. They are preparing for the future. That's an extraordinary circumstance in itself. They are caught in between the past and the future, and we are going to deny them that opportunity? Can I go to number four, please? Actually, I think it's number five. Back to it, please. If you look on page four, there were two times out of six times at their request in the past for property to be changed. Both of those times were in the most recent future or the most recent request in 2003 and 2006. This has been done. There is the precedent for it being done. If we go back to this, I don't believe it's this one, I believe it's the one before it, number four. This one right here. You'll see that on the corner on the left and on the right, there's two single-family homes already in that same area. This is not something new. This makes total sense. Can I go back to the four exceptions, please?
May I get your last name again, though, sir?
My name is Dion Bourdais.
Bourdais, okay.
B-O-U-R-D-A-S-E.
Okay. Mr. Bourdais, I just want to comment on one of your comments.
Sir?
From 2003 and 2006, I think, when the variances were approved by the commission back then. I was on the commission then.
Yes, sir.
And one of the things we would say, even though it might not appear that way, but we would say that our actions is not to set a precedent. And it may look like, well, you did it there, now you're doing it here. We're looking at each application,
yes,
independently.
My apologies. I didn't mean it as a legal precedent. I meant that this is an action that has been taken previously.
It has been.
And so that we can find the reasoning to do so.
Again, we're looking at it separate from, I don't recall what the circumstances were then, but we know what they are now. So.
Well, it looks like that's parcel 3774. Could we go back to the last one? The last one that we had it on to show the actual parcels? The one previously to it, you had, I think it was exhibit four, that one right there. It doesn't say the numbers, but I suspect that those are actually the ones that were approved. And again, if we're looking for reasoning to make substantive findings, These are opinions. These aren't based on facts. This is hard. This, we can play as fast and loose with this as we want if it makes actual sense. This makes sense. Can you imagine in 20 years, whenever all this area is being developed in the future, that there's an area that has not just random people living next to each other, but the children and grandchildren of the same family because they took the time and effort to do it? We're sitting here and talking about, well, we don't want them to build a couple new homes on that property. We have a housing crisis. Don't we want them to build their own homes instead of taking them away from somewhere else? They could go and move down the street. You're right into the sphere of influence of Clovis or Fresno. What'll end up happening is they're taking the home away from somebody else. There are so many different reasons why this makes sense. They're caught in the middle of the future and the past. There is an exceptional reason for this. It makes sense. And this is not against number four. This is not against the general plan. This is exactly what the general plan is about. It's about moving forward in ways that make sense.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Bordes.
Thank you.
I have a question for you, Mr. Bordes.
Yes, ma'am.
This is not your district, is it?
No, it is not.
So you're just commenting on how you like development.
I believe.
And I'm guessing that this is, if this is the way you really feel, that I think that it's important that this is your platform going forward. You want development. And general plan means we try to stick with general plan.
Yes, ma'am.
We really do. And so for you saying general plan is meant to change and be developed, that's not the way we look at it at all.
I can understand that.
We try to stick to it.
I didn't mean that we
and
don't listen
a,
to it.
As a candidate, I sort of think that right now you're kind of...
I think we should just go back to the issue.
Never mind.
I understand, and I apologize. I understand the general plan.
I don't think you were helping their case.
Well, let's move on then. But I thank you for everyone's comments. Thank you, Mr. Bordes.
Thank you.
Anyone else to speak in support of this application?
My other sense, please.
He can come up, but I'd like him to come on up. State your name for the record, but try to keep your comments brief if you would. We won't ask you hard questions.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, my name is Adrian. Good morning. A little nervous, you know, I didn't expect to speak, but I'm here for support. At the end of the day, we're just a little extension of the family. We always grew up with the big family traditions, celebrations. There's always a birthday we don't even know there is, but we're always part of it. And I know with the world being so busy and so fast now and so separated, it's one of those things where it's like, we grew up with cousins, we grew up with family, it's just the way we grew up, and it's something that we want, and then even for our future kids, if we were to have some, if we were gifted with them, and I know we just got that first one with my brother, and it's one of those things where it's something to look forward to, and to see, and to build, and to hopefully one day grow together, and I get it, I'm this is new to me, I'm just listening to what you guys need to do, and stick to the law, and look at the groundings, and look at your guys' sights through your lenses, and I know when you're asking the question to my dad about, like, is there going to be continuation with growth? And with the number two kind of going on in the preservation and the enjoyment, it's like for us to live together is the enjoyment part, but to also preserve, because that's the best way we're going to learn. And that's the way I see it. I feel like the best way is to immerse yourself in learning and to be a part of something if we're going to be growing. And it's, if your question was continuing, if there's going to be continued farming within our sons, and I feel like the best way is to learn and to be a part of it and to immerse yourself into something and to hopefully maybe answer number two to maybe turn it to a yes. It's like that is part of it. You know, living together is an enjoyment to grow together, but yet now it makes us want to learn something in an enjoyment way to maybe even grow it and continue with the farming side also in that part, because I know it's part of the rules and what we need for what's right now. And but yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, that's just one of the main reasons why I support is just trying to be together, you know?
Okay. So, thank you.
Yeah. I'm good.
How are you guys doing? My name is Agustin Arias. I'm the middle child, and just want to go here on record and say that I agree with all my brothers and my dad, what they're saying, and just appreciate you guys' time.
Thanks,
guys.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else to speak in support of this application? Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Close the public portion of the hearing and bring it back to the commission for discussion and a motion.
I kind of have a question for staff. And I'm just curious, this particular area, what's the address? Is it Sanger?
sorry, didn't hear the last part.
Sanger? It's Sanger.
Yeah.
It's a Fresno address?
It's a Fresno address.
Maybe school district Sanger. Is that?
Address Fresno, school district is Sanger.
Okay.
I kind of wish that we had some support from the person, the group that actually wants to see this area grow. So it's Mayor, it's Fresno. It's Fresno County.
The item before you is a quasi-judicial point on the findings. It's not a legislative act, so opinions other than the statement of facts are hard to gather from people, and it's particular independent bodies that we don't have any opportunity to comment. It's a public process. They're welcome to comment. We encourage people to comment and participate, but we wouldn't have any way of.
Once before, we had somebody come in from Sanger, the mayor, who said, we are really hoping that this area develop and support whatever it is. And that was that really helped in going forward for us. But in this case, it's general plan. Out of curiosity, is there other options for them splitting up this property that, or is this... It's the one you, the gift deed that you were talking about. That's the only other option?
Then the other options would be to change the zoning, and then they could do it by right. But again, that's a legislative issue by itself. The upside to that is you do not have findings that are difficult to make. That has anything to do with then your personal circumstances or your personal ones, and they can carry the day. But In this case, it's hard to hear personal desires and needs and separate that from the facts of the findings. Is this a special consideration for these people based on the circumstance of the property or of their personal desires? Do they enjoy the same rights as everybody else? As far as staff can see, yes, they do. They have the same limitations as everybody else. But it's up to the commission to make the decision whether or not you feel there is special circumstances. Is there a substantial property right? Not a civil right, not a personal right, but a property right. Are they being prohibited from developing the property in such a way as allowed by the zoning ordinance? Is there something that constrains them from doing that? And that's where staff says no, there's no constraint here that we have to safeguard. But we understand that sometimes people mistake civil rights and personal rights for substantial property rights.
Well, I think I'm going to try to make a motion. Just see where it goes. You want to say? Go ahead, Commissioner Hill.
On the finding number 2, when it talks about the personal right, it goes down and staff did a good. It says variances can only be used to provide relief to preserve the substantial property right to be able to utilize a property for the intended use of the zoning. If regulations or unique physical attribute prohibits this property from realizing any reasonable use intended under the zoning, a variance would be appropriate to preserve the substantial right, such as the ability to be able to build a home on the site, or the applicant was unable to identify a situation that would constrain the property and create a deficit of a property right enjoyed by their owners in the vicinity under the same zoning. And so therefore, like you say, it's either change the zoning or follow the zoning. That's our choices.
Well, I'm going to actually not try to change the zoning, but I'm going to make a motion that I think I can make the required findings. Before I get into that, I was going to say that reading this on paper, I was just, from what was in front of me, I was just prepared to go against it. After hearing the testimony and asking some questions and just looking at the whole picture, I think I'm going to make the motion to determine that the required findings can be made, and I'll state the basis in a moment, move to approve variance application number 4157, subject conditions of approval and project notes listed in Exhibit 1, and direct the Secretary to prepare a resolution documenting the Commission's action. With regards to the findings, the exceptional extraordinary circumstances or conditions, and then the preservation and enjoyment of substantial property right of the applicant, I think this land, from what I heard, and there is nobody to dispute it, and I would believe this to be true, that this is the conditions of the property is unique in that the applicant for the past 30 years has been doing something that few people have been doing on private property. We heard that before he worked for Mr. Garabedian, who was well known in the area of developing new types of trees and plants that you know were utilized in Fresno County agriculture. And I think the circumstances in that regard for this property would go towards making that finding. The preservation enjoyment of a substantial property right of the applicant, I think there's, it's hard to say it's difficult to limit somebody, I think, that desires to be part of agriculture. That living on the property will go farther than just even if they live down the street a mile or so. When they're on the property, they're involved, they're immersed in the farming. Their father's there to show them how he's doing it. I'm sure what he's doing is not something you can teach someone overnight. So I think the fact that they would be there will go towards development of the property, continue to just further what his father has been doing, what their father has been doing. And to have your family live in the same immediate area is something that everyone should have that opportunity. Finding 3, I agree with staff, there's no adverse effect on the surrounding neighborhood. With regards to contrary to the objectives of the general plan, I would say yes, splitting up a 20-acre parcel is contrary, but looking at the intent and the result, I don't see it will affect the general plan. It'll probably help agriculture in the long run. So that's my motion.
I'll second it, and I'll also add that the fact that the property's not in his name and in the kids' name, that he wasn't able to do the other way of doing the family way.
And I also want to comment that I appreciate that they were upfront in saying their intent is to have homes for all the brothers and the father. Sometimes we may have an applicant come in and they don't tell us what their intent is to that degree. They'll just say, oh, they just want to build one house. And then later on they have the opportunity to add the homes. But they were upfront about it, even though that could have gone to their detriment. So we have a motion by the chairman, second by Commissioner Arabian. Is there any further discussion? If not, I'll call for a roll call vote.
Chairman Abrahamian?
Yes.
Commissioner Arabian?
Yes.
Commissioner Carver is absent. Commissioner Chatha is absent. Commissioner Quist?
No.
Commissioner Wolf?
No.
Commissioner Zante is absent. Vice Chair Hill?
No.
Okay, this motion fails 2-3. It could be appealed to the Board of Supervisors, but you need to check with staff for that process. But thank you, everyone, for coming. Next item.
Regular agenda item number 3, variance application number 4099 and initial study number 7949 filed by Dale Mell, proposing to allow for the reduction of the minimum parcel size and road frontage requirements to create a 2.18 acre and a 27.76 acre parcel from an existing 29.94 acre parcel in the AE20 zone district. The subject parcel is located on the northeast corner of East American Avenue and Nevalencia Avenue, approximately 3.9 miles west of the city limits of the city of Orange Cove.
Good morning, Chairman Ibrahim, Planning Commissioners. My name is Elliot Braxton, Fresno County Public Works and Planning. As you can see here, similar to the previous project, the property is zoned AE20. It's surrounded by properties in similar size. Here's the property in question. There was one variance that was recommended for denial, but was subsequently approved within a mile radius. As you can see here, it's the applicant's intent to create a substandard 2.5 acre parcel, or relatively 2 acre parcel. As you can see here, here's the parcel in question, substandard proposed project. See here, the rest of the project is under Williams-Mack contract. The applicant did go through a Williams-Mack cancellation for this portion, and they paid all the fees. As you can see here, 4 findings need to be made. Findings 1 and 2 need to look at the extraordinary circumstance and substantial property right that the owner must make. Staff was not able to make those 2 findings, as the property itself is not unique, and there's no substantial property right deprived by the owner. The property itself is relatively flat. Concerning our property, concerning finding number 4, the parcel is substandard in size, less than 20 acres. Therefore, staff cannot make finding 4. Therefore, we recommend you deny this project based on the inability to make findings 1, 2, and 4. That concludes staff's presentation. If you have any further questions, I'm here to answer them.
I had a question with regards to cancellation of the Williamson Act. You said they've already applied to do that?
Correct. They, for in order to, the process to go through cancellation or non-renewal is they would have to go to the a decision-making body, the Board of Supervisors, and the Board of Supervisors approve that to be canceled. Subsequent to that, they need to go to the assessor's office and they need to pay a certain fee. The applicant did do that, so that portion has been canceled.
So if this is not approved, they just went through that process for no reason?
Correct. There's always a risk associated with these projects.
Why don't they require it after to see if it's approved or not?
If I might address that. Previous to about a few months ago, the process was sort of as you described. They would go through, applicants would go through the land use entitlement process, and they would have a parallel process where the Agricultural Land Use Conservation Commission would make a recommendation. They wouldn't finalize anything, but they'd make a recommendation whether the cancellation would be supported or not. Then it would come to you, and then it would go on to the Planning Commission. If those guys had recommended denial, it would still come to you. The problem that the board has is they were getting projects that were recommended for approval from the Planning Commission, but recommended for denial from the Agricultural Commission. Mm-hmm. And that conflict, they felt like, well, now how do I deny something on this hand when I'm being told yes on this hand? Well, there's really no way. It sort of feels like you get prejudiced either way. So they reversed that process so that they deal just with the agricultural contract in itself, and they make that determination. Because CEQA requires that the first approval body consider the environmental document, they do have to take that action to make that decision. But then when it comes back through, that doesn't mean that they have to approve the entitlement, but that issue is done. If the Agricultural Lands Conservation Commission chooses to recommend approval, it doesn't go to the board. It still comes through to you and then on to the board. That way there is no conflict. And so that was the change that we've seen. And it does sort of make you scratch your head, you know, why am I... How can I say no when somebody's already said, when the board's already said yes? What you had to remember is they've only said yes on that contract issue. the other issues, they didn't make any, they didn't receive any testimony, they didn't get anything else relative to the project and the application itself. That's your venue. They want, they need you to vet those issues with the public, hear the testimony, and make that decision. And if on appeal, they might further have to do something. But that's sort of the change that we're seeing here. I know that might sound a little confusing. Be glad to try to clarify it if I've botched that.
Okay.
Then does the applicant know that this is a process going to getting their contract, well, releasing their property from being in the ag part and then coming it to us? Do they know?
Yes and no. Okay. I had the pleasure of talking with the applicants yesterday and a little bit today. Often applicants use an applicant representative, and it's hard to have the public understand the complexities of our process. They most certainly are given that information, but as we know, government processes can be quite a daunting task to understand. So I don't know that they fully realize it. It obviously is a large investment in time and money to go through these processes. Sometimes they don't even realize that there is a step after this, that your variance doesn't divide the land, that indeed you still have to go through the parcel map process or tract map or whatever the appropriate land division mechanism is. So, yeah, sometimes people understand those things better than others. It most obviously is they're provided that information. I would think in this case they understood. I'm not sure that they understood it fully.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a good practice. I think you did the right thing, because I have some properties that I'm aware of that are wanting to do stuff, but they can't even get annexed. So, and that's okay. Caused the problem. So thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Okay, any other questions of staff?
If we were to, let's say, approve the variance, mm-hmm. and you're left with a 27 3/4 acre parcel, mm-hmm. could the applicant or a future owner come back and ask to create another substandard?
It's a process they can do. And again, you have to consider it on an individual basis. As the mm-hmm. chairman said, you look at these on a case-by-case basis. Nothing precludes anybody. There used to be a process whereby we would put a covenant on the property that prevented that further creation of additional homes. That is, we can no longer do that. That's preempted by state law that says we can't create those type of covenants or restrictions. So we don't have that option. So there's nothing to prevent somebody coming back at another point in time and further looking for another variance or something. Or they could come back and do it, as we said. They could do an amendment to the zoning and appropriately do that, and then you don't have to make the findings.
Any other questions?
Would you show us on the map where the other, just point with your point where the other small 2-acre plots are, single family?
This was the only one. This is the only one that went through a variance process. Typically, projects that have parcels that are substandard in size were created before the 70s through different procedures. But in terms of the mile radius, only one was created through that process. And as you can see, this is their proposed parcel to be created.
And I just want to make a comment to Commissioner Quist. Sometimes we get these and they'll put this up and we'll recognize that they are surrounded by 2-acre single family parcels. Just it's going a direction. It's very obvious. And sometimes we see that. And so that, you know, that's important. And yes, they do ask. Yes, they come back and ask. So it happens. Areas change.
But as the staff report said, not all of those come through the commission. They're created by, created by other things.
Any other questions? Anything else, Elliot? Okay, thank you very much. ask the applicant to come forward.
Chairman, commissioners, my name is Dale Mell, M-E-L-L, 2090 North Winery Avenue in Fresno. I'm here on behalf of Mr. and Mrs. Braun, who have, and as our applicant or application identifies, that we are aware of the various steps involved with this process. So we're aware that we had to do the cancellation. We paid the fees as identified. We know we had the variance to approve the creation of the smaller parcel, and then we have a parcel map waiver to file following if this is approved. So it is an ongoing process. It is a building block process, we feel, that we have taken steps to work our way to the top, and our goal with achieving a home site is basically what's being requested here. The home site retention process or element of the municipal code addresses ownership when it was A1 zone district, which was prior to 1976. Well, if you do the math, assuming most farmers living on their property of maybe a 30-year age in 1976, it would be over 80 years right now to qualify for a home site retention. Braun's have lived on the site for nearly 40 years. They've committed themselves to this piece of property, changed the agriculture, trees, types of trees. Mr. Braun has worked with Gowan Farming out there for his entire working career. He's looking at retiring now and would like to retain his home site in this retirement. For the years of sacrifice made to agriculture, I think we need to honor that respect and respect that commitment individuals make for farming. There is not always substantial gain, but there is substantial satisfaction to a lifestyle that's quickly diminishing. And especially if you look at the fact, again, I'd like to draw back to that home site retention. It's a right that's applied in the general plan or the municipal code for the AE20 zone district if you happen to own at that time. I look at that intent of that ordinance reference that at the time there was an understanding of the commitment for agriculture that you're going to honor that commitment and have create that exception to be able to create the smaller parcel as we're requesting right now. Not as an exception altogether that you can't retain a home site, but there's a period of time, maybe in the next 5 to 10 years, that there won't be any individual that can actually qualify for that pre-1976 ownership. So in essence, you cancel that option for a home site retention. And I feel that that was really the intent at the time, was to be able to honor that commitment individuals make for farming and give them the right to sell the balance of the labor obligation within that they've given on this property and keep their home site and reside at their home that they've had for nearly 40 years and continue on in their retirement. And that's what we have here. We don't, because of that 76 ownership prior to 76, that our option now is for the variance of a substantial parcel size. We've gone through, as identified, gone through the ALCC commission and was denied, but we appealed to the Board of Supervisors, which it was approved. And we've canceled the do the commitment for ag or ag contract on the specific area, not the entire ranch, but the specific area for the home site. And what we're asking for here today is a home site retention parcel. We'd like you to recognize that. Making the findings are a challenge if you don't look at this as being a home site parcel. We do qualify for the commitment of nearly 40 years again. It's uninterrupted ownership and lifestyles from the Braun's on their property. They've raised a family. They've gone through school in the area, and they would like to enjoy the property, enjoy their home in their retirement.
Mr. Mill, I have a quick question.
Yes, sir.
In the variance findings, the Braun's had stated that they purchased 34.2 acres, and now they're being told it's 29.94 acres. Why the discrepancy? What happened?
I could speculate. We haven't done an actual calculation, but there is a north boundary that is the center line of the Alta Canal, and then there's a slough on the east boundary, which this particular home site parcel we're requesting is bounded on the east by the slough and bounded on the north by the Alta Canal. So it could be an interpretation of measurement within that area. We know that both are substantial in size. It's not a headwater ditch or a tailwater ditch that maybe you can jump across, but there is a substantial area involved with that. And the purchase of the property typically is one of two means to work with, either the assessor map, which should be a net area calculation. Then there are other conveyances that assume out to the center of the road, which would be a gross area calculation, which I would suspect part of that area difference could be a result of that gross interpretation.
Okay. Commissioner Wolf?
Mr. Mell, what are the Braun's farming right now behind their property where their house is?
To the west, it's trees.
It's their trees?
Going on there, yes. Yeah, the photo that was up had to be fairly old, but there are, it is an orchard out there.
It looks like it would be property to the west, I guess.
West, that's correct.
So that's their property?
That is correct.
And you said it's trees?
Trees,
yes. An orchard? So they are farming it, and their intention going forward is to sell it to a farmer?
To sell it to a
farmer,
yes. Okay. Yes.
Okay. And just is there a possibility that they could just lease it to a farmer or rent it out like our last applicant was doing?
That's always a speculation for income, I would suspect. In retirement, we like to look at, I'm not there yet, but I'd like to be one of these days. There is a commitment for value on the property and having that value sit in some kind of an account that you can depend on regular income with your retirement. That's my speculation. Braun's are here. They can answer that more specifically. But I would think, you know, that would be my intentions for a conveyance. Then.
Any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Mell.
Thank you.
Anyone else to speak in support of this application?
Good morning. My name is Phil Braun. My address, 22756 East American Avenue, Ridley, California. I've been in agriculture since 1977. I've worked for the same grower on the same ranches up until 2020. I worked for Growen Farming. If you've ever seen the Prima label around, that's what that was, stone fruit, peaches, plums, nectarines, and In 2020, the Ground family sold the property, and it was acquired along with Wawona by a group, an investment group, and they've gone bankrupt, and so I've been served with a WARN Act. It's a 90-day notice that the job is gonna end, not by my choice. I've loved doing what I'm doing. It's all on the same ranches for all these years. We lived in this place since 77. I'm sorry, it was 86, since 1986 is when we've lived there. So it's not 40 years, but close to 40 years. We want to continue to stay there. Like Dale mentioned, that we raised our family there. You know, we're used to the agricultural community. We're not the ones that are going to complain about the neighbors spraying or if there's dust blowing around, or we love the country life. We're not planning on building another home on the site. I doubt if we were to sell the property, I doubt that someone else would build a home. I mean, that's all speculation. I just doubt that, you know, the small farms are in less people's hands. It's big companies that are taking over, and if you're a small grower, you're dealing with labor. If it's labor contractors, you have to take it to a packing house to pay this fee. So ownership of small family farms are disappearing. So I think that in the general plan, there are going to be less and less homes in the, you know, in the countryside and the surrounding farming areas, because it's going to take care of itself. I just would appreciate your consideration that we could stay there, and retire there. Yeah, not by choice on the retirement. I don't know if I can do something else. I may give it a try. I don't know, but the trees that we have on our property are citrus. Seems like done something right by putting in citrus. Citrus is good right now. We tried growing some nectarines and some plums, and citrus. You can get by with less water, and it's not easy. It's been a process, and going into this, splitting this off, I guess I just assumed that by the Board of Supervisors that they unanimously agreed to being able for us to be able to get our parcel out of the Williamson Act, that this was just going to be a formality. But I certainly understand that's not the case. I thought maybe this is where just going to secure the acreage, and 2.1 acres or whatever it shows is going to be recorded, and this was going to be pretty much the end. But, you know, we've invested a lot of time in this and a lot of money, and I don't know if we would want to reconsider doing this again, whether we would do it or not. I don't know. This is not easy, and I just appreciate your consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Braun. Commissioner Wolf has a question.
Mr. Braun, I've been reading about that that unfortunate bankruptcy. I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry you're involved in that. I do have a question about the property, your orchard. Do you have anybody poking around or any neighbor that you already know might jump in and help you and buy that? Do you have anybody in mind?
Yeah, actually, not that we've, I've talked to one neighbor.